Welcome to Sleepless in St. Gennard, where nostalgia replaces REM cycles. I'm Kitty.
And I'm Ange.
And we haven't slept
in 30 years.
This is a podcast about the 90s Disney cartoon Darkwing Duck. Or perhaps should I say, Negaduck 2, The New Batch, starring Negaduck and also Morgana, as we cover Dynamite Comics Negaduck number 2, all about Negaduck going number 2. Everyone poop, Negaduck edition, hot off the presses from Dynamite Comics.
That's totally what happens.
And the second and final issue of Dynamite Comics is all about Negaduck using toilets, and Disney's like, absolutely not, they don't exist.
They don't exist. Nobody poops in the Darkwing verse. We've established this.
Instead of everybody poops, it's nobody poops. No, not a single poop.
We're off to a great start.
You come to Sleepless and Saint Gennard for class, okay?
We have to talk about the fact that the penguins were real. The
penguins were real. Confirmed.
Confirmed. I went back. I did some searching. And the reason I had so much trouble finding them was because I saw them in a video. It was a Twitter advertisement for the comics. And then on top of that, Stan Lunn, who is one of the co-hosts on the St. Gennard Files podcast, also had pinged me on Twitter.com and had found, I think it was in previews, they had shown a preview of the Negaduck comic, and the penguins were indeed there.
There you go. The case of the disappearing penguins has been solved.
I still turn the cover art for that episode. I used the Club Penguin penguins, even though I actually had the actual penguins at that point. I was like, no, we're going with Club Penguins.
That's what they deserve. So, thank you for folks rallying to vindicate our dear Ange in her penguin fever dream.
Yes, it's good to know that I'm not completely losing it, just somewhat.
Only partial.
Mm-hmm. But now we're heading into issue number duh.
Okay, gotcha. And this is kicking off from Taurus Bulba and his little weird scientist guy saying, let's go get King Midas's glove or something?
Correct. So Negaduck was getting all angry because every time he came up with an idea, some other lower tier villain would beat him to it. Hammerhead Hannigan was peering at him from the bushes, and then he saw them taken off.
Yeah.
And followed them, where he overheard Taurus Bulba's platypus professor friend talking about how there's an island with the Midas glove, and it does indeed turn everything to gold. And so they were going to go there, but Negaduck's like, nah, I'm just going to take this idea and I'm going to jack his ship in the process. So he stole his ship.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The island itself they could not find because it goes by a different name and it doesn't show up on geological maps. But he knows that somebody with magical know-how surely will know the location, and thus he's going to fly that ship over to a certain sorceress.
Hell yeah. The little child make a reappearance on this episode?
I don't recall. I'm going to say no. I haven't seen the child in a while, thank goodness.
Okay, good.
What is interesting is that Morgana's little mansion appears to be located in an isolated forest of some sort, but that, well, I suppose that makes sense because the house like moves around, doesn't it?
Yeah, she probably moves it around every once in a while. Changes scenery, quite literally.
That must be great for property value. Just plunk it down somewhere where it's worth a bit more.
Yeah, just a little empty lot, squeeze it in there.
It'll just be like the penguins. People will be like, was that there before? And they'll just doubt themselves.
Scratch their head on the sidewalk.
Knowing St. Gennard, they probably wouldn't even notice or care.
That's true. That is very true. Fair enough.
So yes, we start out in the air. He's flying towards Morgana's. And the little narrative box says, "Remember last issue when Negaduck infiltrated Taurus Bulba's lair and heard about his plans to find the long-lost Midas gauntlet that turns objects to gold? And then Negaduck knocked the gangsters out and stole the airship to go find the artifact on his own? You don't? Well, that's what happened. Pay attention this time." Feels like it was targeted. It's like targeting you specifically. It's like, so you don't remember, Kitty, huh?
Yeah, well, give me a break, guys.
I should also add that they also shortened his name to ND in that narrative. I automatically said Negaduck. I only bring that up because Negaduck proceeds to argue with the narrative and says, "By the way, I do not like being called ND. I am Negaduck, the most brilliant criminal mind this time or any other." So,
no nicknames. Negaducky.
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 So he's, as usual, talking to himself aloud, as he does, as all villains do, really.
Some more than others.
Yes. And he says that the only problem with Bulba's plan is he couldn't find the island, but he knows someone who can. A user of magic who would have that kind of history book. Morgana Macabre, powerful witch and lady friend of the arch enemy Darkwing. And then he talks about how this is like the real issue for him because Morgana hates him because he's often battling her boyfriend. But he argues that she should like me because I look just like that guy. And then he says, ah, and he gets an idea and says, the solution, staring me in the face. And I actually like the art for this, so I will show you.
Oh, are we getting a undercover ND?
Yes. I do like the mischievous grin at the end there.
Oh, yes. Very mischievous. And Morgana looks cute, too. And his little robotic mock-up of her.
It's good stuff. And then, I guess to make this even more complicated for himself, he has a color control enabled thing on his suit. So instead of just switching the clothing, he presses a button on his hand and it magically changes color. Like it slowly fades and becomes purple, which just seems very overly complicated, but also very Negaduck.
Well, I mean, it'll come in handy for as many times as he disguises himself as Darkwing.
Yes. And he says that hopefully his better posture and suave demeanor won't give him away. He says, I'm the terror that quacks in the night, I think. Let's get strangerous, or something like that. Flawless. After all this time, he really, he doesn't know and he doesn't care what Darkwing's. So we see him marching towards Morgana and he says, ah, there's my mark, or lady friend now. I'll just turn on the charm and act like I'm curious about history and the way Darkwing isn't. Which seems like a huge fault in this plan, but okay. So Morgana is outside and she's tending to some flowers. Eek and Squeak are hanging upside down from a tree and Archie is on the ground next to her. So she's just having a good time.
Yeah, enjoying her life.
Negaduck marches up and Morgana says, Darkwing, I wasn't expecting you. And Negaduck starts in with, hello, beautiful. I thought I'd check in on you before getting to work. And Morgana must be immediately suspicious because she's kind of quirking a brow and says, I'm surprised. I think there's multiple attacks on the city happening right now. And Negaduck says, all can wait, my dear. You are what's important to me. And say, you keep any of your good magical history books out here? Very subtle.
in the yard? Yes, of course I do. They're under the begonias.
And Morgana's like, I have a few. I didn't know you were interested. And he continues saying, I certainly am. I was reading an article about a King's Island tomb, and I couldn't figure out the location because of an old name. And Morgana's kind of walking up, and she's brandishing her fingers, about to do a spell. And he says, what are you doing there, my sweet? And she says, oh, this silly spell? It's not important. And I will show you this page as well. I will admit, I'm not super crazy with how the artist draws Morgana, but I think I'm just really picky in general when it comes to Morgana. I feel like nobody ever really draws her properly. Even the cartoon sometimes doesn't get it right. If you look at her throughout different episodes, she looks better in some than others. And I feel like she's in this, it almost feels like they looked at like Federica Von Strange from DuckTales and use that instead of Morgana as reference.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she doesn't really look like Morgana.
It's the cheeks. It's the shape of the head and the eyes.
Yeah, yeah. She's kind of got, like, no neck. Yeah. Oh, and of course he keeps his black mask on.
Classic Negaduck.
The coloring is really nice in this.
It is. I really like the backgrounds and how it's colored and everything. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, really nice. Way nicer than Negaduck deserves. They could have just scribbled it in with crayon and it would have been what he deserves.
Well, Morgana knows what he deserves too, because she immediately zaps him with a reversal spell and turns his costume back into Negaduck. And she says, "I knew it was you, Negaduck. You think you could trick me into one of your evil schemes against my special boo-boo? But think again." And Negaduck's like, "Ah, shit."
His flaw was pretending like he was interested in anything that she likes.
Exactly.
Tipped her off immediately.
I don't know what he was going for here, but he clearly does not know Darkwing or his relationship to Morgana.
I feel like if he had just been like, dur, my name is Darkwing, blah, 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 she would have bought that more. And hello, beautiful, I'm interested in that thing you like.
He claimed it was for a case, because he always prioritizes his cases. He could have been like, "Hey, babe, I've got this case, and I was wondering if you could help me with this book of yours." Might have worked a bit more.
Darkwing asking for help is also a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm. I like the art, though, when she's zapping Negaduck and he turns back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all really nice. And the role of Morgana today will be played by Frederica.
They even gave them old school DuckTales tongues. I guess that's like, is that in general? I think the Duck comics, that's the style where they have those little triangular sharp
little
tongues.
Triangle, yeah. Mm-hmm. Donald definitely has that little triangle tongue.
It's not bad. It's just, I'm picky as hell with Morgana.
Mm-hmm. It's like that first picture that you showed me of her, of like the little
hologram
computer mock-up of her. Yeah, that looks like her. But the rest of it doesn't really. For me, anyway, I don't know. What do I know? I don't have the PhD in Morganaology. My masters are more in the Muddlefoot variety.
You are a Muddlefoot professional in all regards.
It's true.
She's telling Negaduck what's what. She mentions that she was watching Lilliput on the news, and it gave her an idea she'd like to try out.
Uh-oh, time to make him small.
You're on the right track. She doesn't make him small. Smaller. She makes Eeksqueak and Archie bigger.
Oh.
So kind of the same thing when you think about it. Like at the end of the day, he's dealing with some oversized insects and arachnids.
And I guess he is kind of small to begin with.
He is. So she zaps them and sicks them on Negaduck.
Big Archie has plans.
Archie is ready to kill. I think he always is.
It's the moment he's been waiting for. He's finally got the size.
I love Eek and Squeak, though, with the little tongue always hanging out. It's very cute. I like their eyes are shiny, too. I've always liked that style when they put the little, I don't know what you call them, the eye shines on their sclera.
Yep.
They're real scary. And Negaduck is like, oh, shit. So he's running from them. He remarks, spiders already look horrifying when you see them close up, but he's jumping around, dodging them, and he says, "Hear me out, Morgana, this plan doesn't even have anything to do with Darkwing. I'm doing a whole different kind of evil this time, has nothing to do with your boyfriend." So he's bouncing around and he's dodging them. He looks very acrobatic. Here, I'll show you. He's very graceful. I like this page, actually. It's there you go.
He is jumping around. I like the one with him in Eek slash Squeak, whichever one that was, in that bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah.
Very dynamic, escaping these giant creatures.
He's trying his best.
And succeeding. Or his worst.
A lot of good action scenes in this one.
Nice.
I really like this next page, too. So Archie makes a giant spider web that Negaduck crashes into, and he's still trying to explain himself the entire time. He's saying it's more of an expedition kind of thing. Archie traps him in the web, And Morgana says, so you expect me to believe you like my sweet Dark now? And he says, no, I can't stand him. But, and I can't stress this enough, not everything is about Darkwing. As he says that, Archie uses the web as like a slingshot and sends him flying.
Okay.
But I thought that was pretty funny. I can't stress this enough, but not everything is about Darkwing. And it's true. This really isn't about Darkwing at all. It's just Negaduck has a plan and he wants to enact it. And Morgana is a means to an end. He's being pretty upfront now that he's been found out.
He really is.
He says, this is not going as smoothly as I envisioned. My landing probably won't either. I really like the art on this page in general.
Yeah. Oh, it's all really, really good.
I like the shading.
Yeah, everything is top notch here. I feel like this looks better than the Darkwing comic, which I think is perfect. Negaduck's comic looks better than Darkwing's, and I can't be happier with that fact. Not that Darkwing's comic looks bad, but it's very nice.
It has a very, it feels very like the Italian, I don't know what you call them, Topolino? Comics?
Yes, I believe it is Topolino, yes.
And I do believe Ciro Cangiolosi, the artist, I think he's done stuff for that, so that's probably why.
Oh, there you go.
For me, the things that really draw me in and make a comic good is when the backgrounds look nice, but they're not too distracting. Beautiful shading, the colors look crisp and clear, and they're not overly contrasted or too saturated or anything like that. All that stuff, when you add it all up. But also, I think, especially with Darkwing, the facial expressions, I think it's really important that they're very cartoony and they have to exaggerate and stretch everything. Because if you don't, it just looks a little too awkward. Because Darkwing is just the kind of universe where you really do have to ham it up with all the characters.
Absolutely.
Negaduck is falling from the sky and he's pulling all kinds of stuff out of his pockets. Rubber chickens and blenders. And sandwiches and anvils, the usual. It says, I must have something in here that will help. Not a parachute. Oh, there's where I put that remote. And then Eek and Squeak catch him by his cape. And he says, it's you two. Have you ever tried gliding around smoothly like birds? And I thought Agony Island was going to be the hard part of this expedition. Damn. Bats. I'm glad there's more Eek and Squeak. I always love seeing them.
Yeah, I like all of her little familiars. They're nice. Oh, yes, they're still big. That's how they're carrying him around. I imagined they were still and, like, hiding either side of his cape. But no, just one of them's got the cape chomped right in his mouth.
So they drop him down in front of Morgana. And she said, oh, did I hear you mention Agony Island up there? And he said, yeah, I'm trying to find it and thought you'd have some ancient map. That's all, I promise. It's not even really a crime, probably. And she says, well, if this doesn't really concern my Darkwing, then I'll help. But first you must do something for me. And then she shows her scary duck teeth.
Oh, yeah. Even Archie looks a little concerned. Oh, Negaduck looks a little crazy, too. Gonna make him, like, weed her garden or something.
He 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 he. She's doing the he 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 he, like that lizard meme. I should add, I was watching an interview, I think it was Traversing with the Stars, where he was talking to the writer of the Negaduck comics, and the guy was asking about Morgana and her, I guess, morality in this comic, and connection to Darkwing and everything. And the writer, who I should probably go back and check his name. Jeff Parker. There, that's what it is. I knew it was a Jeff. I couldn't remember which one.
One of the Jeffs.
So Jeff Parker was saying that this comic, largely Darkwing won't be showing up in it, which I actually kind of like, because it's more really focused on Negaduck and what does he do when Darkwing is elsewhere, which I think is pretty interesting. And in regards to Morgana, I'm just paraphrasing, but I will put a link in the show notes to the interview, so if anybody wants to check it out for themselves. But he said that largely she is a good person, but she's still got a little bit of that evil businesswoman in her. And as long as it's not really conflicting too much with Darkwing, she's not totally against, assisting Negaduck. And I would agree with that. But also, in my opinion, since it is an island where he would, that's supposed to be advertised as somewhere that you will most certainly die, I could see her just being like, sure, here you go, in the hopes that, like, an island eats him or something.
Yeah. And I mean, she does have to pay off those student loans somehow. So maybe she's like, oh, yeah, there's supposed to be a glove that makes gold there. Just, yeah, bring me back some money.
I do like that, because Morgana, I like her when she's kind of straddling that line between good and evil, where she isn't on the level completely, but she's not going to do anything that severely harms anyone either.
Right. Yeah.
That's what makes her fun, in my opinion. And I think he also mentioned that the reason she recognized Negaduck in the Darkwing disguise so quickly was because he has absolutely no idea what Darkwing's truly like. And he was just kind of hamming it up in a way he thought Darkwing would act, and was so far off the mark that Morgana knew immediately. And also, he's probably done this quite a few times. So she's just kind of like... Yeah.
She's tipped off immediately.
Yeah. I guess at some point, if you've dated someone long enough, hopefully you'd be able to tell them apart from their evil other dimensional twin.
One should hope.
But... we're switching to a different group of people now, because meanwhile, back in a seedier part of St. Canard, to me, looks like it would be the old haunt. It's not stated as such, but it's that kind of environment. And the backgrounds, again, look really cool in this, so I'll show you that in a minute. But there's a bodyguard rhinoceros out front, and we see the Fearsome Four sitting inside at a table, and they're talking about how fast their plans fell apart. From earlier, if you recall, in the previous issue, they had put Megavolt in a cute little submarine suit, and they were surfing all around the city doing stuff.
Like bros.
Yeah, like bros. And Quackerjack saying the stupid submarine suit leaked before we could even rob the first bank. And Megavolt says, I told you I needed more time to modify it. Bushroot also says that it was too cloudy out. We need to relaunch on a sunny day for him. I guess because his plants probably grow better in the sun.
Mm.
And then Liquidator adds that the next big summer special is coming Friday. Also, I really like the way they look in this comic, so I will show you that. And then they hear somebody talking off camera saying, we're finished! Without the flyer, we have no way to catch that bum and get our gold. I've seen some of the art from this page posted on Tumblr because a lot of people really like it. And it makes sense to me because the Fearsome Four are very popular, and Bushroot in particular looks very cute in this.
Yeah, they all look good. Yeah, I like it. Just hanging out. Looks like Bushroot's eating ice cream.
Some potato chips.
Yeah, you know. Just the boys. Hanging with the boys.
They look over at the other table, and it's Taurus Bulba's minions, Hoof and Mouth, and Hammerhead Hannigan. Complaining about the fact that if we had all that gold, we could buy a new airship and catch Negaduck. But we wouldn't need to because we'd have that magic glove. What's the word? And Hammerhead says it's ironical.
Oh.
So the Fearsome Four over here, and they swoop in. And Liquidator says, pardon, my friends, but it sounds like Negaduck took off with your gold. And they say, no, he stole Taurus Bulba's airship and our boss is mad. The other guy says, to go find the Midas Gauntlet, which turns anything to gold. Megavolt, I guess the science nerd he is, says, transmutation? Really? And Hannigan says, well, for that thieving thief Negaduck, he'll be able to make mountains of gold. And then Bushroot confirms, like, do you know where the gauntlet is? Since Negaduck stole Taurus's ship, they can track him because there was a tracker on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't follow him in their car because he's flying all over the place. And there's also like a bunch of random rough looking dudes in the foreground as well.
Oh my, yeah.
Just having a little bitch fest about Negaduck and how he ruins everything.
Yeah, the Fearsome Four shooter look very happy with all this information. They're like, oh, sounds like a great plan. Let's steal it. I feel like that would be perfectly in character for them to be like, hey, that sounds like a great idea. And also, we get to screw over Negaduck. Let's do it. And they put their hands in. And then, yeah, let's go, team.
You're not too far off. they clarify. They're like, wait, a glove that turns objects to gold? This sounds like a deal too good to be true. Hannigan says, I'll back up and explain it to you. And then we see that him just standing there explaining the entire, like, history of this glove to them. I'll just show you the image because there's, like, little, it's all pictures. And it just says, Hammerhead tells the story of the mythic King Midas to the Den of Thieves. It's the most interesting thing they've ever heard. Little known fact, Hammerhead is good at telling stories. And they do look...
Oh, there we go.
They look very enthralled by it all.
Oh, yes. Look at him. He's got commanding their full attention. Also, airing your boss's plan to an entire bar full of lowlives who are likely to steal it, probably going to trigger some kind of mass exodus to this mythical island.
You are absolutely correct. 100%, because there's a whole bunch of other people in this bar. So Fearsome Four say, what if we go find Negaduck for you? In the spirit of criminal brotherhood. Hannigan says, well, that's really nice of you guys. Here's the tracker. You can find the airship anywhere on the planet. And Megavolt says, we won't let you down. Alongside all these other random dudes that were also in the bar. I'll start rushing. And Megavolt says, we can use his aquatic airship that I guess he has. Which I guess...
Okay.
I mean, Megavolt never really had a whole lot except for that car with the battery strapped to the top of it. But I suppose he could build whatever the heck he wants.
He had a pickup truck at some point. And up and awry, he has a blimp. I guess he makes do. But I feel like if the four are pooling together, I feel like they probably have come up with all kinds of fun stuff.
So you can see there is, in fact, a mass exodus.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's on their way out the door. A gold rush.
My immediate thought was the fact that they put a bunch of random villains in here. It's the cannon fodder. They're the ones who are going to die on this island first, so they had to create some extra bodies.
Basically. Negaduck will push them into the volcanoes to get past.
I guess Hoofmouth and Hammerhead Hannigan are just going to chill in the bar while everybody else goes and does this for them.
Well, but also, this would be a perfect time for them to do, like, a crime spree in the city. No competition.
That would be smart, but I don't think they are.
No, they are not.
So then we are going to go back to Morgana and find out what she wants from Negaduck.
Her wicked plan.
Her wicked plan is having him stand on a pedestal without most of his clothes so she can take his measurements.
Meow!
She wants to make a suit as a surprise for Darkwing's birthday, and since Negaduck is the exact same size and height, she's taking his measurements so she can apply them.
Him stripped down to his birthday suit to make a birthday suit for Darkwing.
Ha ha ha. Well, he's got his little red turtleneck on. He actually looks pretty good with just the turtleneck. It works. He can make it work without the whole suit.
Is it a mock turtleneck? Oh no, he's just got the...
He's so mad.
Okay. He is.
Just the middle panel with him looking super pissed off while Morgana measures him is probably my favorite panel in this issue.
Oh, and Archie and Eek and Squeak are back to normal size.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. I like it.
He's so offended. He's like, I am the mightiest criminal, and this is what you're using me for.
Listen, buddy, you want your book or not?
And then he forgets and who he's talking to, and he says, don't forget to put in lots of pockets for stuff. And then he's like, wait, why am I helping him? Mm-hmm. And now she's going to help him. So they're in a library in, I assume, her place. I love, like, I always just imagine by default that Morgana has, like, a dank, dirty basement with a little library with all kinds of weird stuff and, like, an apothecary. And this is very much, like, they basically took what I've always imagined and made it an actual thing.
I feel like she has an endless variety of rooms.
Yes.
Her house is magic and she can just have whatever she wants.
If only all of us could do that in this economy.
Right? Floor plan is infinitely negotiable.
So she tells him not to touch anything, and immediately he does.
Good.
He pulls out a book, and it farts in his face.
Heh heh.
You
like it? You feel good?
is not too happy about it. He doesn't like the farting book. He apparently had grabbed The Art of Gassiness. I will show you, because it has sound effects. Super important that you see that.
It's just his eyes and a bill and a fart cloud.
Frap!
Frap. No, he hasn't put his coat back on. He's just kicking it in his turtleneck.
Kind of works for him. Just all red and black.
Ooh. Him and Morgana. Matchy matchy.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. You're right. They totally match.
When in Rome.
So she digs through the books on the shelves and finds the correct book and says, as you overheard, the curse about him having the power of gold was only a myth. And then he says, why would that be a curse? And she says, part of the story was that he accidentally turned his daughter into gold. And Negaduck says, still not seeing what makes that a curse.
I'm still failing to see the flaw in this plan.
And then she finds the island on the map. Morgana is warning him not to get too invested in the gauntlet, even if it does exist, because magical items can lose potency over the centuries or not work the same outside the region they come from. And Negaduck very obviously just says, yeah, yeah, got the coordinates, done. He's not going to listen.
By the time that they find it, it only turns things into, like, copper.
My guess is that it will work when he's on the island, and then when he goes back to St. Canard, it stops working, or it does something stupid. Since she says that sometimes it only works in the region it comes from, or it doesn't work the same.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the catch, because he's not going to listen. He's just like, okay, that's nice.
We all know it's not going to work out for him.
Never does. Never does.
Him and Darkwing have that in common. Except Darkwing eventually does. It does work out for him.
So Negaduck asks her if she thinks the place will be full of traps. And she says, I'm sure Midas's followers only called it Agony Island and the Sea of Despair for fun. Dumbass.
He's like, that's the same name of my summer home.
And he argues, well, if it's a myth, maybe that part's a myth, too. And she said, maybe. But in my experience, the good legends turn out to be pure myth and the bad legends turn out to be fact.
Mm.
Which I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, well, those old legends haven't met the new legend. Me. I meant me. And she's like, yeah, I get your meaning. She's not impressed.
Yeah.
And then Archie rumbles something into her ear as Negaduck gets back into the Taurus Bulba ship and takes off. And she says, no, I don't think he'll make it back either, Archie.
Well, anyway, back to work.
I should add that he was putting his clothes back on during this conversation. Because he was indeed still walking around in just his little turtleneck.
But he still had his hat on. The only thing he was missing was the jacket and the cape.
And it does make sense to me that Morgana's just like, yeah, he probably won't live. She doesn't care.
Mm-mm. Yeah, she's like, all right, whatever. She didn't give him the book, right? She just told him what he wanted to know.
Yeah, he wrote down the coordinates with a pen and paper.
There you go.
Could have just taken a photo with his little cell phone camera, too, I guess. But it works out for him.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back with our four friends, we see Megavolt's flying contraption, which I have to show you what this thing looks like, because it's kind of funny. We see his flying machine. All these random thugs are hopping on in the back, saying, let's go find that gold maker. Maybe there's nice beaches, too. Quackerjack's questioning, will the ship fly with all these freeloaders? And Megavolt says it will. It's designed to carry lots of stolen stuff. And Liquidator argues that the customer is always right, but I feel this offer should be limited to us four only. So I will show you that so you can admire this Megavolt plane.
Oh, so kind of in the tradition of vehicles, it sort of looks like him. It's got his little plug cap on. And
the window has like the goggles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cute. Yeah, it's just like a plane. All these people are just piling in there. It's cute. It definitely looks like there would be a Megavolt inside.
It's very clever.
Yeah. Nice. Good job, Megs.
So Bushroot says that they all have good points, but don't forget, We're going into a dangerous place and we'll be up against a dangerous duck. In horticulture, we have to plant a lot of seeds to get the results we want. And Megavolt says, in other words, we're expecting some of these to fail. So Quackerjack says, so we hang back and let Negaduck and all the others get hit by all the dangers. And then Liquidator continues, and we mop up when they're finished. What a bargain.
There you go. Might be one of their smartest plans, actually.
Yeah, they're just going to let everybody else perish first, and they'll just follow in behind.
Yep.
And then Megavolt says they need to hurry up because on the monitor, the ship is already across the ocean, so they have to catch up with him. Megavolt says that Bulba should have put some actual cameras on the plane so they could see what Negaduck is flying into. Because we see in the next page that Negaduck is leaning back at the control panel, drinking some coffee. He's got several cups of coffee that he has gone through.
Yeah.
And he says, I gotta hand it to Bulba's engineers. This baby flies smooth. The autopilot even lets you take a nap. But my favorite feature is the coffee maker. But then he's closing in on the island and is looking like there's a storm brewing. And he says, it's easy enough to move around. Some pretty gnarly rocks around here. No wonder it's the Sea of Misery.
I'm going to say that Bulba's ship does not actually make coffee. He's just been drinking oil and thinks that that's coffee. My own opinion. Let's see. Well, he looks very relaxed. Boom!
The lightning crack.
Yeah. I also feel like he would have spray painted a mustache on this thing by now. Negaduck was here type deal.
He's just reasoning himself out. He says, back when treasure hunters could only sail the seas, this place would be the end of them. But we're doing this in the 21st century, Midas. Your island defense isn't keeping out a future fiend like me, motherfucker. He doesn't say that last part.
I think he does.
In our hearts.
It's heavily implied.
And he says, go ahead and engrave my name on that gauntlet. The ship comes to a sudden halt. He jerks forward. Seat belt is actually on. And it says, always make sure your safety belts are properly fastened. Which, good for you, Negaduck. Always thinking of your own safety, I guess. And he's questioning how the hell he's stopped in midair. So he looks out the window, and I will show you that page.
Oh, he is stopped. Oh, he says.
And what does he see?
He's a Herb Muddlefoot.
If only. It's in Negaduck's words, an underwater weirdo leviathan. It's like a giant squid, and its tentacle has wrapped itself around his ship.
A long-lost relation of his attack squid.
Oh, that would be nice. They could reunite.
Where's my son?
And he says, oh, this is misery. And then it says, up next, Agony Island. That's the end of this issue.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, Negaduck. What troubles have you gotten yourself into now, giant squid? Oh, it's like a jagged, evil-looking squid, too. He should try to make friends with it, bring it home. But yeah, actually, pretty on point. I'm pretty impressed with how this one's going.
Yeah, I'm enjoying where the story's going. There's just something neat about seeing what Negaduck does and how he deals with things when it's not all about Darkwing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even everybody, it's just like Organa hanging out, doing her thing, and everybody else just kind of like, oh man, we did a thing, but now it's over. It's like, you know, Darkwing Duck without Darkwing. It's fun. It's fun to see what everybody else is doing.
It's like Garfield without Garfield. Have you seen those comics?
Yeah. John is just talking to himself and it's super sad.
Yes.
Yes. Only this isn't so sad. It's just everybody else having... I feel like, so far, I feel like having a much more dynamic adventure than anything that Darkwing is ever involved in. It's like everybody has the really cool days when Darkwing isn't around.
It's true.
But yeah.
So I'm just looking over, so the Jeff Parker interview I mentioned, summarizing some points about it for some friends, and I put in a few quotes. So I'll just go over those really quickly. So he hinted that the upcoming stories go all over the globe and not necessarily going against heroes. He doesn't cross paths with Darkwing in these stories because he's going to be out menacing the rest of the world. And then I quoted him and said, "What I'm going for is what exactly makes Negaduck Negaduck. How is he defined when he's not defined in terms of Darkwing? Is he his own guy? Is he really just a negative of Darkwing? I don't think so. He's his own duck."
Nice.
And then he also says, "Negaduck's resourceful, but he almost always has to get his ego out of the way before he can get anything done. He's his own worst enemy. He really thinks about how good he is, and so he's not necessarily considering all the things he's up against. He's too busy relying on his own supremacy."
There you go.
The interviewer had asked about Morgana, and Jeff said she was a former villain, and it's fun to keep a bit of her villainous edge to make her interesting and not too niced up, which I 100% agree. And then another thing that the interviewer had asked was whether Nega Morgana exists, and like in regards to the whole Negaverse. And Jeff said that he liked the Negaverse episode, but he wasn't really planning on visiting it in the series because they already did that in the cartoon. So it's going to focus more on Negaduck in Darkwing's world.
That's fair.
I don't mind that. I find like the Negaverse is very hard to... Like, there's so many different ways you could play out the Negaverse and how you play those characters, and it's so open to interpretation that I'm never quite sure how I feel about people exploring it.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, that is a universe that Negaduck has already conquered, so why would he kick around there?
Yep, exactly. Honestly, so, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I came to the conclusion that Negaduck doesn't even really care about being in charge or ruling things. Like, when you look at the Negaverse, he is the boss, but I feel like he has no true interest in actually running anything, and that's why it all goes to ruin, because it's basically like he's in charge, but he's neglecting it, and the reason for that, like, when you think about Justice Ducks, when the four are arguing over who gets what, he straight up offers the entire city to all of them. He's like, "You guys can run the city. All I want is the loot." So
yeah, I just want all the money. Yeah.
I think he's more motivated by greed than power. With the Negaverse, I think it was almost like he just kind of fell into, because he was being so greedy and he was trying to do his thing. It just fell into his lap. Everybody was probably like, "This guy knows what he's doing. Let's just let him run the place." But he doesn't actually really care. And that's why the Negaverse is completely in ruin. And then he got bored because, like, he's conquered it. Like, there's nothing to do there. Yeah. And that's why he's in Darkwing's world all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he has a version of himself that's tenaciously against him. So it's challenging. It's fun.
Yeah. Subscribe to my essay where I write 400 pages about Negaduck psychology.
The ND dissertation will be incoming on the next episode of Sleepless in St. Canard for our Patreons only. It's $40 to view it.
The Patreon that totally exists.
Yes, the absolutely true and real Patreon. Well, this was fun. I felt like this was a good addition to the Negaduck canon. And again, like the art is really, really nice. The colors are really crisp. I really like seeing these.
The writer, in my opinion, he doesn't have a full grasp on Negaduck's dialogue. Like, it doesn't quite sound like him, but he seems to really understand the psyche. One of my favorite things from the interview that they were talking about was the interviewer asked if Negaduck was going to have any new antagonists in the comics. And Jeff said, "Not in the superhero sense. It's more like going forward, you see more things like cool heists. To think of him more in terms of Ocean's 11 is probably right. He thinks as himself as a mastermind, so he tries to mastermind things. So really, the whole world is his antagonist in a story where he's the protagonist."
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like just the whole world is his antagonist is probably the best way to sum up Negaduck's personality.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Because, and I feel like having the other villains kind of on his heels is fun too. I'm sure there'll be some kind of blow up there at some point. It's fun. It's good. I'm enjoying these.
Yeah. And as of right now, there's at least 7 issues coming out.
Wow.
So we're only on, so it, as of us recording this, it's only issue 3 has come out, but they've released covers and pre-orders for 4, 5, 6, and 7. And I will assume there's probably an 8, because usually they round up, don't they? Like, not always, but usually when they do arcs, it tends to be like 4 to 8. So.
That's exciting. That's good.
That's actually pretty good for a comic about a spinoff where Negaduck is, you know, it's all about him. That's quite a few issues.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad run at all. And there we go. In the year of our Lord, 2023, we have Negaduck having his own comic.
Heck yeah.
Look at that, Ange.
What a world.
Look at that.
What a world we live in.
What a world indeed. That's where we will end today. So there we go. I mean, we don't usually write these comics. I feel like we're 11 million episodes into this podcast, and I never remember how we do anything. I mean, Negaduck Factor doesn't really come into the comics, right? Because he's not, even though this is, you know, a Disney product, it's not, you know, the real Negaduck.
I feel like we kind of rated it as we went. We've talked in length about the art and the way the characters look and the writing. So, I mean, on the whole, I'd say it's pretty good. One thing I like is I like it when I don't know exactly where a comic is taking us. Like, it's not too predictable, but at the same time, I can see bits of elements of what might happen down the road, and I'm invested. And I think that's what's important.
Yeah, we'll see what troubles he gets into next time. And I guess more importantly, what troubles all those other poor, hapless villains get in the next time. Those other bargoers that are kicking around with the fearsome four. Alrighty. Well, there we go. And then next week we will be discussing episode 3 of the Negaduck comic.
Are we? Are we doing Up, Up, and Awry?
It's
up to you.
Either one. We'll be discussing one of those.
Okay.
But until we figure out which one, remember, friends, that crime doesn't sleep, and neither do we.
And neither do gigantic Archies.
Or farting books. Whap.
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 You're gonna come in, or are you just gonna stand there and scream at me?
Come in, baby, come in.